Homajnanatimadannasyajnananjanashalakaya chakshurunmuditam dhena tasmai shri gurave namah
tato gandhasi madstanam sarvaloka namaskritam uparishtad rishibhyastvam yato na vartate gata. Tata, thereafter. So the word thereafter means that in context, that according to the way that Dhruva Maharaj had gone after the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he got a very specific result. And this is one of the main themes of the Bhagavad Gita, and it's given very clearly here. And the theme is that, as Krishna says, yanti deva vata devan pitrin yanti pratirvata bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti mam yajino pimam. That you can go wherever you wish to go. If you want to go to the demigods, he says, then you can go there if you worship them. Actually, worship, the word worship comes from the word worth. When you put ship on the end of a word, it becomes a noun. So originally, the word worship meant worth-ship, or was pronounced like that, and then gradually it morphed into worship, which means where you put your, where you see value, where is the most valuable thing? What is the most valuable thing to you? In fact, this is similar to the word shraddha. When we say shraddha or faith, shradd means the heart, and dha is an active verb. It means where you place something. So shraddha really means where you place your heart. And whatever way that your heart is fixed because of your association over many lifetimes and in this lifetime, and one will have a particular inclination to someone or something. Krishna describes this in the beginning of the 17th chapter of the Gita, where he says that a person is made of his or her faith. And what's more, when one has one's heart, Ramananda Roy told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who mildly chastised him for coming to see him, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, before going to see Lord Jagannath in the temple. When he arrived at Jagannath Puri, he said, "What have you done, my dear Roy? Why did you come here first?" And Ramananda Roy said that the heart is the driver, the body is the chariot. And wherever the heart is fixed, the body will go. So in a similar way, Dhruva Maharaj was fixed in a certain direction, and that was to attain the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His intention is known to have been mixed with a personal desire. Nonetheless, because his desire was focused on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the result was sure and certain in any case. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that, in fact, he encourages us that whatever our motive is, which is, he mentions various material motives, whether it's material or spiritual, we should still concentrate on him. Rather, I would first say that the Bhagavatam mentions this, akama sarva kamo va moksha kama udharati tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Bhagavatam encourages us that if we have a particular desire, whatever it may be, we should still approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in the Gita, Krishna confirms chaturvida in the 7th chapter, chaturvida bhajante mam jana sukritino arjuna arto jignaso artarti gyanicha bharatarshabha. The four kinds of pious people, sukritis, approach me. Those who are in need of wealth, like Dhruva Maharaj is given as an example of this in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Jiva Goswami and Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur all name Dhruva Maharaj as an example of someone who became perfect even though he was an artarti. He wanted wealth. But he approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he had received instruction from his both his stepmother and his mother. His stepmother actually said that you'll have to find God, you'll have to take another birth, and entered my womb, when he confirmed it with his mother, then he became determined to go to the forest. And that was how he approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though it was with a motive. And we find in the Srimad Bhagavatam, fifth canto, that even if one has a motive when one approaches the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that motive becomes purified. Satyam dishati artitam artito rinam, naivartito yad anrinam artito yata, swayam vitate bhajanam anichitam ichapitanam nijapada palavam. Bhagavatam says that if one approaches the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kijai, and has a material motive, and petitions the Lord again and again for something material, then the Lord gives him that. He awards him that particular, he awards his desire, fulfills his desire, but he does it in such a way that the devotee won't ask for it again. That verse is paraphrased in the Chaitanya Charitamrita when Krishna says that this person is a fool. He's approaching me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the reservoir of all pleasure, but he's asking me for some material thing. So he said, this is like a person who is being offered a nectar, but then he requests instead to drink some poison. And he said, this person is a fool, but I'm not a fool. So he said, I will give him what he wants, but I'll do it in such a way that he'll no longer ask for it again. Instead, I'll cover that material desire, and I'll give him instead ichapitaram nijapada palavam. I'll give him my own lotus feet as a reward. So the devotional service is so potent. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentions in the Bhakti of Samrita in the Sri Brahma Samhita purport that pure devotional service, mixed devotional service, contains some pure devotional service, because what's the mixture? There has to be some pure element of pure devotional service. So that's so powerful that if it's there somewhere and one acts upon it, then the result will be sure and certain. Krishna will reciprocate with the devotee, and in the meantime will purify his desires. So it says tata, thereafter, means that Dhruva Maharaj went after his material desires, but he went after it by asking the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Interestingly, in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna describes to Uddhava about the mystic potencies that one can attain in this world, there are a category of mystic potencies that are considered to be primary, and then there are secondaries. And the devotee attains, when one becomes a pure devotee, one attains all the primary and secondary mystic potencies according to Krishna's arrangement. And within those, Krishna describes how it is that mystic yogis get their powers. Should I say? We might become distracted if we figure out the process. Don't say it?
Tell us.
Only two people want to hear it, so I'll tell them after class. He says, does Krishna, that the yogis are able to focus their minds on a particular element in the universe. And by focusing their attention and not taking it away, they attain the same quality as that material element. For instance, the yogis who want to become lighter than the lightest, they'll meditate on the air element and then become very light, and they can levitate. They can contradict nature. And there's various lists of ways in which yogis meditate on particular elements or personalities and attain specific mystic potencies. But it says, one who wants to fulfill all of one's desires and also never be defeated in any circumstance should meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Dhruva Maharaj was advised correctly to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and tata, thereafter, ganta asi, you will go. Now the proclamation is being given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead that now you're going to go. Where? Matstanam, to my abode. So the word sthanam is very important because actually it's cognate with the word stand in English. We have words like understand, which means to know something, to be aware of it clearly. And to have a standing in any circumstance means that one's solidly situated there. In fact, in the process of devotional service, we hear about the various stages, adau shraddha tata sadhusanga tabhajana kriya tato narta nivritti syat tato nishta ruchistata, and then onward from there. And this word nishta also is related to this word sthanam, which means when one is no longer harassed by the lower modes of nature and the various pushings caused by the anartas, the unwanted desires within one's heart, which cause various obstacles to one's well-being and one's advancement in devotional service, one can come to the position of nishta. Shta means they have a place to stand. They can't be moved from there. They've attained a particular stature in devotional service that won't be lost. And the lower modes of nature, as we said, as we chanted in the invocation prayers, tada rajas tamo bhava kama lobadayaschaye cheta iter anavidam stitam sattve prasidati. Sutta Goswami is confirming the process of devotional service. This, by the way, was the sequence of verses, as you all know, that Prabhupada included in his prayers when he was coming to the United States, saying that by hearing the Bhagavatam, people, even from the lowest position, would be able to get a standing in devotional service. And this tada rajas tamo bhava kama lubadeshjaye chete teranavidam stitam sattve prasidati. They would become, stitam is also same word, stitam sattve, they become situated in sattva above rajas and tamas. By continuing to hear from the Srimad Bhagavatam, they would come to this position. Stitam sattve prasidati, and then they become happy. Evam prasanna manaso. So this abode of Krishna and his internal energy is available to anyone who takes to the process of devotional service. And even as one lives in this material world, one may become situated in the spiritual abode by the process of devotional service. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirmed when he spoke to Rupa Goswami and said that the devotional creeper grows in the heart, and then of course it breaks through the material covering and goes to the spiritual world. And even as one's moving about the material world, even as one has an apparent material body, it's transformed. And one's relationship is secured, even from this place, with the spiritual world. And then, of course, after giving up the material body, one who's situated like that will go directly to the spiritual world, or indirectly. There's various ways that devotees go back to Godhead. And that Krishna confirms in the Bhagavad Gita in a very simple verse, chanma karma chame divyam evam yo viti tatvata takvadeham punarjanma naiti mam iti sorjuna. That one who's understood clearly, there's the word again, shta, understood, the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities isn't obligated to take birth again in the material world, but goes back home, back to Godhead afterwards. So we see that here's a practical example of that verse that is being played out here right before our eyes, that Dhruva Maharaj had gone to the forest. He had also received instruction from Narada Muni on the way there, and he carefully, meticulously followed the instructions of his guru. And then he had had the direct audience of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who gave him benedictions. And now he's confirming these. Is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that after your material life in this body, you'll go to my planet, which is always offered obeisances by the residents of all other planetary systems. This is also in the Vedas. Om tad vishnu paramam param sada pashanti suryaho divivu chakshuratatam tadviprasov vipanyavo jagrambam saha simindate vishnu yat paramam param. This is the abode of Vishnu is above, and it is the supreme destination, and is the place that every the great saints, they're always offering their obeisances that to that supreme abode. So by the process of devotional service, now I'm going to wind up so we can have some reflections. By the process of devotional service, anyone can attain a firm standing in devotional service, and then, after leaving this body, will be transferred back to the original supreme abode of the Personality of Godhead. Om Tat Sat. And now, if you will be so kind, we can take some reflections. It means anything that you heard in the verse, purport, or the monologue that you wanted to make a comment on, and then we'll discuss further. Yes, Prabhu.
We have learned for a long time that each universe, each material universe, is covered by seven layers.
We have heard for a long time that this material universe is covered by seven layers.
So, if the pole star is a spiritual star.
So, if the pole star is a spiritual star.
How is it possible for us to see it?
How is it possible for us to
see the pole star?
To see the pole star. Well, this is specifically mentioned that Krishna wants to glorify Dhruva Maharaj, and therefore he's made this a fixed planet, a fixture in the material world. It's inconceivable how much he glorifies his devotees and how dear they are to him, that he makes this a glorious a place that that people are aware of, they can see, and they can offer their obeisances to. They even fix their course, you know, on the North Star, on the Pole Star, when they're making a journey somewhere. So this is because he is eager to glorify his devotee, and he makes it visible. Yes, Prabhu?
We can see the babies. They're spiritual, completely spiritual.
Right.
I can. Yes,
they're still there.
To seeing God within everything, not that I actually did, but that was my the instructions that I had received. And when I first came to the temple, I didn't really see the deities, I saw the flowers. I was really looking at the flowers and appreciating, because I was so used to looking at nature and so forth. But by hearing, then one can become aware and see Shastra Chakshus.
It's all Krishna's energy, isn't it? Even, you know, even the material world is Krishna's energy, it's just in a different, we perceive it differently. Like right now, we are in the spiritual world. We just don't. I just don't realize it.
Ranjit Prabhu and then Mataji.
So, Dhruva Maharaj was being instructed by Narada Muni. And practically,
Dhruva Maharaj was being instructed by Narada Muni, and practically,
the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, which is explained by Vedavyas, Vedavyas is also the disciple of Narada Muni.
And Vedavyas is also a disciple of Narada Muni.
So most of the pastimes in the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Are like how I came to Krishna consciousness.
Versions of these great personalities. Who
were being instructed by Narada Muni.
So Vyasadeva is like speaking about his godbrothers.
The
pastimes of his godbrothers.
How they came to Krishna consciousness.
Which is, paralleled by, I don't know, in Back to Godhead magazine, it's one of the most popular.
Which is paralleled in the Back to Godhead magazine. One of the most important parts is how I came to Krishna consciousness.
And so we see how, again, through Srila Prabhupada, so many of us came to Krishna consciousness because of the book distribution.
Through Srila Prabhupada, how many of us came to Krishna consciousness because of Srila Prabhupada through book distribution.
And So I just reflect on that whenever I think about the instructions of Narada Muni to his disciples.
So I reflect on it when I hear the instructions of Narada Muni to his disciples. Thank you, Ranjit Prabhu.
I was just relating to Prabhu's point about how we can see Dhruva Loka, even though we're in the material world. And I was recalling that Srila Prabhupada had writing one of his purports that actually Dhruva Loka is like an embassy of the spiritual world. So although it's in the material world, it's spiritual. So it's like the embassy of Uruguay, say, in the UK. So if someone seeks asylum in that embassy, like although the whole embassy is encompassed by the UK, no one can touch it. No one in that country can touch the person who's inside the embassy.
So she was recounting how she had read how Dhruva Maharaj's abode, Dhruva Loka, is like an embassy. And just as if you went to Paraguay, you might see the embassy of...
I think there's someone, like someone's, some famous person seeking... he's lived inside the Uruguayan embassy in London.
Someone has lived inside the Uruguay embassy in London for a long time.
Even though the British, the government wants to arrest him, but they can't get to
him. The government wants to arrest him, but they can't get to him because he's in the embassy.
So the Dhruva Loka, this is my understanding from... I think Prabhupada writes that at one point that Dhruva Loka is an embassy of the spiritual world.
Dhruva Loka is an embassy of the spiritual world.
When the material world is destroyed, then Dhruva Loka isn't destroyed.
And when the material world is destroyed, Dhruva Loka isn't destroyed. Thank you. Other points?
The other one on sthanam, you know, how is one situated? Arjuna asks Krishna that in that verse in the Bhagavad Gita.
In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is asking, Arjuna is asking Krishna, how is a person in who is self-realized situated in transcendence? What is his characteristic?
How does he speak? And one of the things is, how does he sit?
How does he speak? How does he sit? How is he situated? Stita Pragdasya Keshava.
Stita Pragdasya,
yeah. Mine. Yes. Yes,
you
Prabhu?
You mentioned there were different ways that one could go back to Godhead.
I mentioned that there's different ways that one can go back to Godhead.
Would you like to elaborate on that?
Would I like to elaborate on it? Yes, I would. Well, just from one example, we have the Bharat Maharaj, who started off going to the forest with all intentions of attaining perfection in devotional service, and he got distracted. Then he took birth as a deer, but even as a deer, he remembered everything from his previous life, so in that body, he went back to Palashya Ashram to practice along with the Ashtanga yogis there. And then in his next lifetime, he became the famous Judd Bharat. And from there, actually, it's very interesting how he had attained such determination by going through those various experiences that he had. He had really fallen down in a pretty heavy way. And then he had to take a deer's body. By the time he was born as Judd Bharat, he was very determined to go back to Godhead, and therefore didn't interact with the material world at all. And then after that, he was able to go back. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments about this in the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He mentions how some devotees take a few lifetimes to go back because their goal is so lofty that it requires that they go through various lifetimes in order to become purified to do that. Also, in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll find in the progress of the soul going back to Godhead that there are at least two paths mentioned there. One is that a devotee goes directly back to Godhead, And there, Shukadeva also, Goswami also says that sometimes the devotee wants to see where he's been in the material world. What does it all look like? So he basically takes, for lack of a better phrase, the scenic route, going back and seeing all the different regions of the material world before going back. And he's appreciating as God's intricate creation and seeing it that way. So the process isn't stereotyped. Furthermore, Prabhupada mentions in the Bhagavatam, in the Krishna book, in his Krishna book summary of the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, that the devotee, after performing devotional service in this life with alacrity, then takes birth on a planet where Krishna is performing his pastimes to get trained up so he can go back to the spiritual world. So he'll, and essentially what will happen is the devotee will take birth in the family of devotees who are engaged directly with Krishna's pastimes in a particular planet. And there he'll become more trained up. It's very personal, in a particular service, in a particular mood. And then from there he goes back to Godhead. Then, of course, it's mentioned in various shastras that are quoted by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that those who live on Brahmaloka, when Brahma is a pure devotee, then after Brahma winds up his life, which means winding up the universe, because in essence the universe is actually the body of Brahma. And those devotees who have taken shelter of him can transfer themselves back home, back to Godhead from Brahmaloka. So there's a lot of different points of view. One thing that Bhakti True Maharaj brought up in his seminar at New Vrindavan last year was that the earthly planet is in the middle. It's a ground floor, he was saying. So just like in a building, you can't get out of the building from the top. Like the heavenly planets are the top floors, and the hellish planets are like the basement. And the earthly planetary system is right in the middle. It's the ground floor. Bhumandala is the place from which one can actually readily get out of the material world and go back to Godhead. And especially on Bhumandala, Vrindavan Dham, Vraj Dham. That's the place we notice that in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Gopakumar, the hero of the story, was advised finally by Narada to go from here, which is this is an embassy of Vraj. Gandharvika, Gididhari are here, and from this place, which is directly connection, there's a corridor from here to Vraj, then one can transfer oneself through Harinam Sankirtan back home, back to Godhead. This is the process of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yes, Prabhu.
So, from perhaps you can explain where it comes from, but my hearing is that devotees who are engaged in the Sankirtan movement, engaged in...
So Ranjit Prabhu is saying, so perhaps you can explain that the devotees who are, it's my understanding, the devotees who are engaged in the Sankirtan process?
They will, in the next life... go into the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya.
They will in next life go into the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and serve.
Serve in that way.
Serve in that way.
Through that way go back to Godhead.
And through that way go back to Godhead. Well, if you take the song of Vishwanath of Narottam Das Thakur, Gauranga Dutipada, is a very important song because he confirms what you're saying. He says that one who dives into the ocean of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, which is Sankirtan. And then once he dives into this Sankirtan movement, he'll come out on the shore of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. And this is also confirmed in the Chaitanya Chandamrita, Yata Yata Gora Padaravinde, this famous verse in which Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur says, by worshipping the lotus, this is noted in the pastime of Ramananda Roy and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discussing the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the combination of Radha and Krishna. And we also hear it in the very beginning of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, when we hear, Anarpita Chirim Chirat Karuna Yavatirna Kalo Anarpayitum Unuchwalar. It's For a long time, Krishna thinks I haven't given this special information about the spiritual world, and therefore he comes back. And it's mentioned that the Radha and Krishna are eternally separated, but they join together as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So some devotees are more attached to Radha Krishna. Some devotees are more attached to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the combination of Radha and Krishna. And some are attached to both at the same time. So those who are attached to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Radha and Krishna, they tend to go to Vraj to perform their service. Those who are attached to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they go to that place in the spiritual world, which is not different from Vrindavan, called Navadvip Dham. And those who are attached to both live in both places simultaneously, because the soul is also, in its liberated state, malleable and able to accommodate both environments at the same time. This is confirmed by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his commentary to the Sri Brahma Sanghita. Again, it's not stereotyped, and it really reinforces the beginning emphasis of this verse, tata ganta asi matstanam, for those who have a particular will to worship Krishna in a particular way, he'll make all facility. And every devotee actually has a unique desire to worship Krishna in a particular way, and Krishna facilitates that. He gives... And this is like with Dhruva Maharaj, you know, who would have thought a planet in the material world. It's something of a concoction in a way, because Dhruva Maharaj was thinking, this is what I want. So Krishna gave it to him, but in a way to glorify him and also to fulfill what he thought he wanted previously, which Dhruva Maharaj he regretted later. He said, I wish I didn't ask for anything. Why should I? I wish I had asked Krishna for something material. But Krishna does that. He still gives him the thing and says, you know, take it anyway. Yes?
So there's one small book.
There's one small book called Simple for the Simple.
And it was written by one devotee's husband after her passing.
It was written by one devotee's husband after his wife's passing.
It was a very tumultuous passing.
It was a very tumultuous passing.
Very, very ill. And
she had been very, very ill.
Externally appeared that she was suffering a great deal.
It externally appeared she was suffering a great deal.
However, she would come back into consciousness and tell these amazing stories about how, they're not stories.
Actually. However, when she came to consciousness during the ordeal, she would recount various stories about
how she was being trained up.
By Mother Yashoda
to prepare Krishna's lunch. And she was a simple devotee. She lived in the temple.
She lived in a temple with her family for many years.
Everyone was simply amazed.
And everyone was simply amazed, and there was no question in their minds
that she was actually being trained up.
Krishna's lunch in that way, and even to prepare Krishna's lunch in that way. And even this body, which is suffering externally so much, she was totally in bliss. Talking about preparing Krishna's lunch, and how Krishna was going with the cowherd boys, no question. I beg to differ. I think you explained it quite well. And this is confirmed in the Shastra. Iha yasya harir dasye karmana manasa gira nikila apyavastastu jivan muktasu uchite. In our Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which we happen to have, we hear that even in this life, iha yasya harir dasye, those who are engaged in the process of devotional service with body, mind, and words become liberated even as they live in this particular body. And it also confirms what we were talking about earlier about this dual citizenship. The devotees apparently living in this body, in this world, but already has a connection with the spiritual world through the process of devotional service. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also confirmed that in his conversation with Sanatana Goswami and Haridas Thakur, when Sanatana had a disease, skin disease, and Mahaprabhu was embracing him. Sanatana wanted to commit suicide because he thought it was so horrible, the offense that he was making. Mahaprabhu intuited, actually, he's omniscient, so he understood that he was thinking like that. He told him, you can't commit suicide. He said, if you could commit suicide and attain Krishna, I would have done it thousands of times already. And then he said, your body belongs to me. And in that section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a discussion of the way in which the devotee no longer has a material body. But actually, even the neophyte practitioner attains what is called a sarakadeha, a practitioner's body. It's not classified anymore as a material body. You surrendered it. Dikshakali, Bhaktakari, Atma Samarpan, Shekali, Krishnatari, I forget the last part. It says, this is an important verse that comes up in that section in which Mahaprabhu confirms that when one surrenders, Atma Samarpana means you give yourself to Krishna, especially he's talking about through the process of Diksha, you surrender to the spiritual master. Then he says, you no longer have a material body. But Krishna accepts you as good as himself, and you're transformed in that way. So it's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the discussion between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sanatana Goswami, and Haridas Thakur, just after the oozing sores. And there's a whole discussion in there about the difference in the quality of a practitioner's and a devotee's body from a materialistic body. The body is transformed. And of further evidence, to continue that train of thought, is in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. There, when Sri Vidura first approaches Uddhava to ask him for shelter and instruction, which he gives a little shelter and a little instruction, and then he defers to Maitreya Rishi. But in that section, you'll find that when Vidura first approaches Uddhava and begins to ask him questions, Uddhava has to wrest his awareness away from the spiritual world so that he can be present enough with Vidura to speak to him. Prabhupada notes this from the verses that Vidura was so absorbed in his connection with Krishna in the spiritual world that in order to communicate properly on the one-to-one basis here on this plane, he had to pull himself away. So the devotee does transfer him or herself through the process of devotional service. And these incidents, you know, we see around us of devotees who, when leaving their body and so forth, attain these, you know, obviously have symptoms that they're connected. They're very encouraging, aren't they? Even people who are just lightly involved, like when my mother left the world, I was with her the last 4 days, and I, you know, just watching how somebody has had just a little connection with Krishna consciousness can be so much aware, you know, in the last moments, and also, you know, be receiving some kind of mercy is very hopeful for those who actually lean into the process with all their strength. Brahma Prabhu, anything else? I was right there with her. It was a very life-changing experience for me. Her transformation, because she was a sociologist and interested in the process of Krishna consciousness in so much as it was a, you know, social exchange, but never acknowledged during her life the you know, the possibility of an absolute truth or God or things like that. She had left the church early on, as did my father. Early in their lives, because of you know, doubts and cynicism and things like that, But I saw all that fall away in the last month of her life when she actually had nothing else to hold on to. And then she came close to Krishna consciousness and began chanting and just kind of surrendered to the best of her ability in that position that she could. And, you know, it's a very ethereal space. What you're mentioning about this devotee simple for the simple, as we're transferring from one body to the next, my realization was that it begins even before you're absolutely in the throes. There are ways in which you're starting to intuit that you're getting ready to leave and so forth. But actually, throes means like right in the thick of the process of actually leaving the body, you know, in the last few hours and so forth. I mean, so many times when we're napping or something like that, you can sort of have an experience like, you know, you're not in the body or you're sort of in the middle. And that transfer point, leaving this one physical body into the next, that's also discussed, obviously, by Krishna in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, when he tells the technical way in which we transfer from one body to the next. Shariram yaravapnoti yachchap yukramatishvara grihit vaitani samyati vayur gandham ivashayat. It's like the air is carrying the aroma. It's very subtle, he says. And then shotram chakshu sparshanam cha rasanam granam evacha adishtayam manaschayam vishayan upashevate. And then you get fitted for another body according to the consciousness that you carried with you. And he says goes on to say in the next two verses that one who has studied this science can understand what's happening. Ukramantam stitam vapi bunjanam vagunan vitam vimudan anupashanti. The people who are ignorant, they can't see what's happening. Vimudan anupashanti paschanti jnana chakshusa. But one who has knowledge can see exactly what's happening, what's going on. So the devotees become fully aware in this lifetime of what's happening. And they can also see when people are leaving their body what's happening. It becomes very apparent. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. I just want to say about this dham, I'm so impressed with this. You know, there's such attention to detail. When I was sitting on this Vyasasan and you put the cup in this little thing, I was thinking like, who put this here? And when I look around, this whole area, I see high quality things everywhere and things in their place in such a nice way. There's some very advanced devotees behind this organization here, is what I can tell. Just by looking around at the quality of everything and the way they have it laid out and the focus on Sankirtan book distribution is, I'm really grateful that you brought us here. And for I could tell you're behind a lot of this, and all the devotees who are here, it's like really amazing what you've done here. Thanks for inviting us. Sometimes you can't see what you're doing when you're in the middle of it. You might even take it for granted, but this is an amazing place. And
can I say one thing?
Yeah.
When the deities, the place was bought in 1976. Srila Prabhupada was still here, but he has never come here. He saw a photo, he saw the little pond out there, and he said, the name shall be New Radhakam. In 1980, that's 4 years later, almost 4 years later, the deities were installed, and the names were given, Sri Gandharvikirvi. At that time, nobody knew that the BBT would end up here. Nobody had any idea. This was completely unknown. The North European BBT was in Heidelberg, and first in Switzerland, in Zurich, then we moved it to Heidelberg, and then in 1984 we came here, in the shift 1984-85. Do you know the names of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj's deities that were at the end of his letterpress, where he installed his deities, his private Radha Krishna deities, we're at the end of the press, where the sheets come out, you know, from a letter, like that. Shri Shri Gandharvika Giritani.
people.
I thought this was really, really nice. It's almost like predestined. So here, we don't have a letterpress, but we are trying hard to mimic that sound. I have just when I made this the report for the directors and trustees, I did a little statistic and I saw that every 3.4 days, statistically, every 3.4 days last year, 2017, we have sent the book to the publisher. No, I think they've been here for 2 years now, and now it's time for something else. Maybe they will come back or we will make a new one. It was a lot of fun to glue them together. My daughter was gluing.
You should auction them off.
Yeah.
So tomorrow we're going to cut the strings and we take them down and we take all the cloth down. And then somebody, I hope Vaisheshi Guru will speak about the Madhya Leela, what is it, 12th chapter, the Gundicha Marjana. So tomorrow we will cleanse only this room and the altar room. So the deities will be watching us. We will move Srila Prabhupada to over there, in the back there in the room, so that we can have space to clean here. And so today the covers are up the last time. We have Srilas here. We have, how many Srilas do we have today?
14.
How many?
14.
14. And there's a saying that when there are how many Srilas to make a dam?
More than 12.
More than 12 Srilas, then it's a dam. So just push for that.
How do you, I really like what you said about you're in one place and you're going on with your service. You may not see all the things that you're doing. I mean, you reiterated what I was saying, but you added something to it, and there's, which was a sense of accumulation. And every devotee, you know, going throughout life, if one simply maintains the very basic connection with the five most important processes of devotional service throughout one's life, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, even very lightly connected, there's an extraordinary accumulation throughout one's life that gives one the wherewithal to leave this world in a glorious way. So it's something that we may not see. This is important to remind ourselves. We may not be fully aware because it seems in any ritual one may become unaware that one's even doing it. But the fact that someone would go on throughout lifetime and perform devotional service, result is, Prabhupada writes in the Light of Bhagavat, sure and certain for such a person, because the accumulated spiritual result is so powerful.
We're noticing this, you know, that there's Stockholm is over there. It used to be quite far away, but it's growing into this direction. There are already plans. It will not be very close to here because we're in a seclusion zone. Krishna has arranged it in such a way that nobody can build around Krishna's because it's close to water, so there's no permission given. But a little further away, so Stockholm is growing, and as the city grows, this place will become more and more prominent and easier to access. We have been so, 20 years ago it was hard to get here. It's a little easier now, and in 10 years or 20 years it will be a part of the Stockholm city. And we're still with Greenland because of the exclusion zone, where nobody's allowed to.
No one knows how subversive this is also.
Yes.
We're in one little quiet, meadow area here.
Yes.
But from here, the revolution is unfolding very quietly.
We're in a maintenance, also what in regards to the place here. We just keep it. We do not have the manpower to develop it properly. We would love to give you a private bathroom, each one of you. We have not yet. I mean, this is our biggest problem here. We have not managed, and I'm really sorry for that. I have announced it, though. I told everybody 1 year ago, as a disclaimer, I have to say that, I told everybody in Italy, you're very welcome, please. It would be really nice to come to Sri Sri Gandavita Giritari, the presiding deities over the North European BBT. But the bathroom situation, it has not yet been work, so I apologize for that. It's the, but I think the spiritual aspect makes us solid. That's what we, that's my hope. That's my hope.
Well, you have nothing to apologize for.
You know, the Bhuvaneshwar Center is the same.
The Bhuvaneshwar Center is the same.
I went to Bhuvaneshwar in 1982.
Ranjit Prabhu went to Bhuvaneshwar in 1982.
And it was on the main highway.
It was on the main highway.
And there was nothing for miles around.
And there was nothing for miles around.
I
nothing.
Saw that. I also saw that place in the early 80s.
Now there's a big city around
it. Now there's a big city around it. Same with Krishna Balaram Mandir.
Yes.
That was that was a remote area. The rickshaw wallers wouldn't even take us there. Remember? Wow. Because they say, we're not going there. There's nothing there. We'll be stuck, stranded.
Yeah, taxi drivers, they didn't want to come. It's way too far. Exactly like you said, the rickshaw wallers.
Nacharyar Marman. Nacharyar Marman. Nacharyar Marman. Hey! Nacharyar Marman. Nacharyar Marman. Nacharyar Marman. Nacharyar Marman.